Okay, everybody, today's daf is daf Tzadik Dalid, and we're holding roughly 10-11 lines from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara begins, Omar Rava. And today's Gemara is going to be, to a certain degree, a little bit esoteric. It's going to talk about things which are astronomical, as well as astrological in nature, as we'll see in Mitzvah as we go through the blot. So we start off Omar Rava, Shita Alfe Parsi Halva Alma. The world is 6,000 parsois. As we already said yesterday, as everybody knows, a parsa is 4 mil. Now what does that exactly mean? Does it mean the entire world is 6,000 parsois? So Rashi says, about 10-12 lines from the top, Shita Alfe Parsi, Hekif Hiluch Hachama Batoich Hachalol Min Mizrach Lamarev. Every single day we are witness the miracles of the Kodesh Baruch Hu as the sun rises in the east, sets in the west. That hiluch, that circuit of the Chama, starting off in the east and ending off in the west on a daily basis, b'toch ha'chalal, through the atmosphere, that hekif is 6,000 parsois long or wide, depending which way you look at it. Continues the Gemara, v'samcha d'rikia, the thickness of the horizon of the heavens, if you will, alpha parsi is 1,000 parsois. When we say the thickness of the heaven, as you'll see in the Gemara shortly, what we really mean to say is that portion which precedes and succeeds the sun's circuit on a daily basis. The sun, as we know, comes up at Netzachama. However, you see already rays of light already before that, starting from Aloysa Shachar, and of course those rays begin to intensify as we get closer and closer to the nets. And similarly, after Shkia, in the evening, after sunset, we still have the benefit of some of the sun's rays for a while, until we get closer and closer to Tseis HaKoychov. And therefore, what the Gemara is telling us is, why don't we have that intense light already, l'mashul, by Aloysa Shachar? Why don't we have the intense light until Tseis HaKoychovim? Because the Rikia starts getting, if you will, thicker and thicker, or it has the thickness that it has. And when the sun is trying to peer through with its rays in the morning, it cannot, because the thickness of the Rikia is 1,000 amas, or 1,000 parsois, I should say, and therefore it doesn't allow the rays until the sun gets closer and closer to the time of sunrise. If we look at the Rashi, Sumcha de Rikia, Oiv Shel Rachel Rikia, that's the thickness of the heaven, or of the sky. So, okay, we'll see in the Gemara shortly how that works together. Zok the Gemara Vayter, Chod the Gemara v'chod the Svara. In terms of these two numbers that we've just given now, the 6,000 parsois and the 1,000 parsois, one of them is Gemara. Gemara means that's what we have, b'Kabbalah, that's our Mesira. But one of them is based on Svara, on logic. How does that work? And now we're going to quote again what we learned yesterday, b'Shem Rabbi Yochanan. Kama mahalach odem beinani b'yoin. How much can your average individual go and travel or walk on a normal daily basis? Yud parsois, 10 parsa, which is the equivalent of 40 mil. Now that's the entire day. Entire day meanings during daylight as opposed to at nighttime.
How many amas in a mil, please?
A mil has 2,000 amas. So if you're dealing with 10 parsois, every parsa, let's take one parsa at a time. Every parsa is 4 mil. Every mil is 2,000 amas. So every parsa is 8,000 amas, or the equivalent of roughly 16,000 feet. 16,000 feet is a little bit more than 3 miles. So that is one parsa. If you're talking about 10 parsois, it's roughly 30 miles. So a person would be able to walk 30 miles in a day. So let's divide that up into 12 hours. So we divide 30 miles divided by 12, that gives us roughly 2.5 miles per hour, since the average individual does a mile in about 18 to 20 minutes, so therefore it comes out to roughly 2.5 miles per hour. Shizok the Gemara, Mahalachon Benin Biyoim, Yud Parsois, Me'aloi Seshachavad, period. Yud Parsois. Me'aloi Seshachavad Nitzachama is Hey Milan, that's 5 mil. Mishkiyas Achama Ad Seis HaKachovim is Chamisha Milim. Is again 5 mil. So 5 mil in the morning and 5 mil in the evening. Now if we add 5 plus 5, that gives us 10 milim. And since we said before that Yud Parsois is 40 milim, 40 minus 10 leaves us with 30 milim. And we got into this yesterday because we said we divide the 30 milim, half in the morning is 15, half in the afternoon is 15, and that was the makor that we said in our Mishnah that Ezi Derech Achoika. What is considered to be derech achoika for purposes of Pesach Shaini, mena midian v'lachutz, and Ula told us that what is the share? That's chamisha osa milin, 15 mil that a person can normally walk from 12 till 6.
David?
Yes?
A sidebar question. If it's 5 milin from the time from sunrise, from daybreak to sunrise, and from sunset to nightfall, ratio-wise, you have to walk a lot more during the day.
So we're going to talk about that in a moment. But in the meantime, says Imar Nimtza Oivyei Shel Rekia Echad Mishisha B'Yayim. It comes out, therefore, that the Oivyei Shel Rekia, and the Oivyei Shel Rekia means that portion of the sky where the sun is traveling between Aloysa Shachar and Netz, as well as in the evening between Shkia and Tzeis HaKachovim, that Oivyei Shel Rekia, that thickness that the sun has to transverse or has to travel through, is Echad Mishisha B'Yayim, is 1/6 of the day, of the rest of the day. Since the rest of the day is 30 milin, and that early on in the morning is 5 milin, so 5 mil compared to 30 is 1/6. Therefore, says the Gemara, getting back to Rava, since the sun is traveling from Netz until Shkia, 6,000 parsois, so what is the shear of that Simcha Derekia early in the morning from Aloysa Shachar till Netz, or late in the evening from Shkia until Tzeis? That is 1/6. It's 1,000 parsois, one out of the six. So that's what the Gemara told us, that Chod the Gemara. That the circuit of the sun traveling is normally 6,000 parsois, that's Gemara, that's Rabbi Yochanan speaking. Where do we see this from Rabbi Yochanan? Because Rabbi Yochanan makes that cheshbon of the Yud Parsois, Aloysa Shachar, I'm sorry, Yud Parsois. Aloysa Shachar is Heimil, Shkia Sechama is Heimil, and therefore it's 1/6 of the 30 remaining in between. That 1/6 is what the Gemara said, the Chodesh Svara, that the Sumcha Derkia is 1/6 because it's 1,000 parsois compared to 6,000 parsois. Mendy says that the 5 compared to the rest seems a little bit out of order. In other words, it seems to be a little bit disproportional. We're not finished yet, Mendy. We're going to continue on discussing this. But in the meantime, let's take a quick look at the Rashi here, where the Gemara says, Chod Gemara. Chod Gemara means Shita Alfi Parasi Di Alma Gomer Hav Merabe. This Rava said, based on a Messiah that he had from his Rebbe. That the Simcha Derkia, the thickness of the sky is 1,000, that's Sovelamidate, that he figured out on his own, Meahidashit Alfi Parsi the Gemara. Because we're now doing the same type of proportion or proportional correlation between the rest of the day and the early part of the day and the late part of the evening. And we see that just like in terms of the Mahalach Odom B'Yoyim, this is 40 parsois altogether, of which 30 parsois are in normal broad daylight. Prior to that, it's 5. After that, it's 5. So 5 compared to the 30 is 1/6. So here too, the Simcha Derekia is 1/6 of the circuit that the sun is traveling throughout the day. Since it travels 6,000, based on Gemara, 1/6 of that is 1,000 parsi, and that's based on Svara. Next Rashi, Oivishol Kia Echa Mishisha V'yayim, Mehanotza V'yaj Kiyosa, from Netz in the morning sunrise until sunset at night, Shari Oda Mahal Shloishim Milan, Mehanotza V'yaj Kiyosa. We just said that a person can walk 30 mil. Ubatahich Mahalach Shloishim Milan, V'odam, Himalechas is Kolo Oilam. Just like we are walking on the world, so too the sun is traveling upstairs, up in Shemaim, Shu Sheshes Olof in Parasi. Like we just said now. Ukidei Mahalach Chamisha Milin, being able to go and walk 5 milin early in the morning pre-net or late post Shkia have echad mishisha b'shloisha milim. 5 out of 30 is 1/6. Alma simcha derkia alpha parasi. So that's the svara that that's also 1/6. Shebechol mahalach chamisha mili adam. Chamaleches elef parsois. Why don't we see the chama? Because it's thick. That's what the Gemara is saying. That's the Sumcha the Ara, Sumcha the Rekia, I should say, is 1/6. It's 1,000 compared to the 6,000. So this is what Rava said, and this coincides and is almost word for word the same as Ula said yesterday. Because if we go back to the Gemara of yesterday, right after the Mishnah, it says Oma Ula. It's 15. How does he get the 15? Savala, like this Rabbi Chana, Rabbi Yochanan, which we just repeated now, that it's 40 altogether, and 5 in the morning and 5 in the evening. Poshla klos, and you have 30, 15 in the morning, 15 in the afternoon, and that's how you get the cheshbon of minimum idea and little chutz is 15 for purposes of the Karban Pesach. So the two are basically the same. So Freitim Oriyetz Meisvei, we have now Akasha from a Braisa. Until now we were dealing with Amiroin, Rava and Ula and Rabbi Yochanan. Let's see what the Braisa says. What's the Tana say? Rabbi Yehuda says it's not a sixth, it's a tenth. Teda, I'll show you. How much does a normal, regular individual walk throughout a day? 10 parsois. 10 parsa. Okay. How much is it from Alois until Netz? Arbas milin. Oh, not 5 milin, but 4 milin. How much is that? Arbas milah. Once again, the same thing. 4 million. Not 5, but 4. Uh-huh. Okay, so now we started off with 40. Everybody agrees to the normal walking individual. It's 10 parsois, which is the equivalent of 40 mil. So now of the 40, instead of doing... And one moment. Previously, according to Rava, we took the 40, subtracted the 10, and we got down to 30. And then we compared the 5 to the 30, and we got 1/6. Reb Yehuda does the fraction of the calculation a little bit differently. And that is the way, if we were going to continue the way Rava did it, we would say, okay, we have 40. We subtract from 40, we subtract 8. 4 plus 4 is 8. And then we have 32. And then we have to compare 4 to 32, and that would be 1/8. Right? That would be if we were doing exactly, but he says one tenth. The reason why he says 1/10, it says Rashi, is because Rabbi Yehuda doesn't start his calculation of the denominator from Netz until Shkia, but in fact he started from Malusa Shachar till after Tzeisa Kachom, which means in total the person walks the 40 mil. The 40 includes the 4 in the morning, the 4 in the evening. So we're going to compare 4 to 40 as opposed to 4 to 32. 4 to 40 is 1/10. So really the difference between Rava and Rabbi Yehuda is not 1/6 and 1/10. It's really 1/6 and 1/8. But we understand how that works. Says the Gemara, Nimti Abishurkiya Echad Miasar Bihaim. So therefore, again, using that same fractional proportion, 1/10, or according to Archaj, 1/8, is Achshver and Rava, and it's Shver and Ula. Tiyofta de Rava, Tiyofta de Ula, and Tiyofta. Both of them are Ogifreit, because in fact it's not a Cheshvin of 5 mil and 5 mil, but it's 4 mil and 4 mil. So it's more limited to have the Tiyofta de Rabbi Yochanan. Will I say that Rabbi Yochanan is also Ogifreit? Why? Because look at Rabbi Yochanan. We start again, Rabbi Yochanan. Third line where we started today. Savala kihadi amram rav upon number of Yochanan, the 10 parsois. Meloy se shach when it's a cham is 5 mil. Mishki is a cham is 5 mil. Rabbi Yehuda just said it's 4 and 4. Zakti amara amalach. Rabbi Yochanan could respond. Anabi amamahu the amri. I was talking about the total of the 40. In other words, if we start Rabbi Yochanan again, kama mahalach odem beinli biyoim, yud parsois, stop, period. That's where Rabbi Yochanan's statement ends. However, the Talmidim, or the later Amiroim, when they heard what I said, Rabbanan hu dekatoi, who are these Rabbanan? Says Rashi, this is Ula and Rava. They added on their own shtickle, the kochashvan dekadma vechashoicha. What does Yomar mean to say? After all, we're talking about a Metzias. go and hire now, let's go and do a test sample, take 100 people from Aloysa Shachar till Netzach Abba, and let's see the average individual, how much he walks during that period of time. Is it going to be 4 mil or 5 mil? How could there be a machlaikis? Says the Gemara, Avad, everybody agrees, says Rabbi Yochanan and says Rabbi Yehuda, it's 4 mil. The reason why you find that there's some people that walk 5 mil is the comment either because they start earlier before Aloysa Shachar, they start 10, 15 minutes earlier, so they chaparain one more mil, or at night they end their walk post Tzeisach Echavim, they walk in for another 10 or 15 minutes and they chaparain another mil. But really, everybody would agree it's really 4, and that the Rav and Ula said that it's 5 is because they are cheshmaning people that started off earlier and people that ended off later. So tomorrow, let's say that this is a stark kasher. Who's Reb Chanina? So if we go back again to the Amud Beis of yesterday, Reb Chanina said that I can prove it to you that there are 5 nil from Alois HaShachar until Netzach Abba. What's the proof? So the Gemara said, you see, about halfway down on Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis, the wide lines, the line begins Ukemoy HaShachar Ola. So start on the previous line at the end. Chameshes milin minolan. How do I know it's 5 mil in the morning? It says by loit. Ukamoya shachar ola. Shachar ola means aloisa shachar. Vayitza malachim, and the malachim were pressuring and pushing and hurrying and saying, no, shnel, shnel, shnel. The whole sedoim v'amoyer is soon going to be gofres v'eshem in Hashemayim. Uksiv, and they taka rushed. And Hashem is yotza al-aretz, when it was now sunrise, netzachama, v'loit v'tzayara, and he came to tzayar. Now how far is it from sedoim to tzayar? V'yom Reb Chanina, l'didi chazli, I was there, says Reb Chanina. And chazlihu asra, and we measured it by chamisha milin. So the chayra, we see not like Reb Chanina, because we just said now that you only travel 4, and he went 5. So tomorrow, we were talking about a mahalach of a normal, regular individual that's going at a normal stroll, a normal walk, a normal pace. That would be 4 mil. But over here, the malachim of Yitzu, they are rushing him. Schnell! We got to move. Machapleita. Oh, so therefore that, he was able to go and go 5 in the period of time that normally a regular person. In other words, there's a difference between walking and running. If you're hurrying and running, of course, you'll go and travel much, you know, much more of a distance than if you're just walking at a normal, regular pace. Okay, so now before we continue on, although this Gemara seems to be quite esoteric in many, many different ways, but let's try to address Mendy's issue that Mendy was asking before about the, is it proportional, not proportional to the rest of the day. So as we know, there is this famous Shita of Rabbeinu Tam that says from most people think of it in terms of from Shkia till Tzeisach Echavim, but the same thing applies from Aleis HaShachar till Netz in the morning, and that is 72 minutes. And of course, in the morning it has major ramifications, as it will have another 2 days from now, Mi'at Hashem, when we fast on Tanis Esther, that whatever this man says on all the tepluch and the papers or calendars, whenever Netz is, you have to go back 72 minutes for Aleis HaShachar to be able to, until then you can still eat, and after that you can no longer eat. Anyway, and of course 72 minutes at night, until when can you daven mincha, and when can you start davening maariv, etc. So we have this 72 minutes. Where does this 72 minutes come from? It comes directly from this Rabbi Yehuda. How does it come from this Rabbi Yehuda? Because we're saying that everybody knows that throughout the day there are 12 hours. We're talking about, of course, a day like in Chodesh Nisan or Chodesh Tishrei, where the day and night are basically the same, 12 hours daytime, 12 hours nighttime. Obviously throughout the year this changes dramatically in the summer, in the middle of winter, as we know. Good. So if we're talking about a 12-hour day, how many minutes are there in a 12-hour day? So if we multiply 12 times 60, we should get to roughly 720. Everybody agrees with that? Good. Rabbi Yehuda just got finished saying that the amount of time, when are you going to miss that olive? Yeah, from Aloysa Shachar till Netz is 1/10 of the entire day. Of course, he's talking in terms of traveling distances, but let's talk in terms of time. If there's 720 minutes in a day, and this is 1/10 of 720, 1/10 of 720 Mendy would be 72. I know it's hard to concentrate. So that's 72 minutes in the morning and 72 minutes in the evening.
Should that float with the Shalos Manios?
So in fact, there are those that believe that it does flow with Shalos Manios, and that's why in all the modern Mais Manim Tzetla, it says if you're looking for Shalos Kivuois, 72 minutes is, whatever. If you're looking Lefiha Oifik, Lefiha Oifik means according to the horizon and the sky, and the longitude and the latitude, then these things can go and change up and down. So there are two sheets on that. Most poskim throughout the world feel that you go through the kavua, you don't go and measure longitude, latitude, but again, I don't want to get into psak halacha. That's the type of thing you should ask your confident local Orthodox rabbi. You do see, however, a fundamental, I mean, any person that has eyes, Baruch Hashem, sees that there are fundamental differences between, for instance, Eretz Yisrael and the Mediterranean countries and places like here in America. Because if you're ever in Eretz Yisrael, you will notice that within 10 or 15 minutes after Shkia, it really starts getting very dark. And by 18 minutes, 20 minutes, you can already see the first stars coming out on the horizon. So anybody that davens after 15 minutes or 18 minutes after Shkia in Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael, people will look at it kind of in a strange way. It's so dark, you can't see anything. As opposed to America and European countries, etc., where very often, even post-Shkia, you're walking outside a half an hour later, there's still a fair amount of light. Obviously, it's not as much light as 12 in the midday, but there's still a fair amount of light. It's only when you get closer and closer to 72 minutes when it really starts getting very dark, and the first stars start shining out on the horizon. You can start seeing those first stars. Anyway,
the Earth moves faster, closer to the equator, because it's rotating, so the rotational speed, the equator is faster than up north.
No question. So Brother Shai is explaining that this, what we call a natural phenomenon, which of course is all dictated by Hashem, has to do with the equator and how close you are to the equator and things of that nature. And in Eretz Yisrael, they're closer to the equator, and here we're higher up, and we're more to the north, and that's more to, etc., etc. Sure, speak to people that really are familiar with astronomy and things of that nature. But anyway, that's how you get the 72 minutes. That is Rebbe Letam. Now the question is, what's the Shitas HaGoinim? So we don't go into that in our Gemara, but there's a Gemara in Mesechtes Shabbos, as well as in Erevin, and Toisis talks about this a little bit. If you look in the middle Toisis over here, he brings, read, Kloser V. Mil, V'hochek Amari Gufei Arbo Amilin, that elsewhere, the same Rabbi Yehuda holds that the distance, the Bein HaShmoshes time, is all of 3/4 of a mil. Plus a rivet mil, 3/4. And this is 4 mil. That's a big difference. Who is talking about this? This is at the beginning of the Toisus Kashul Rabbeinu Tam. So this is one of the number of Toisus, and we have Rabbeinu Tam that comes up with this, who concludes based on our Gemara that it's 72 minutes. Elsewhere it says that it's 3/4 of a mil. That's from Hascholashkia. And that's why in Halacha there is this concept of Hascholashkia and Soifshkia. And the question is, which is the real Shkia for our purposes? So those that hold really with Rabbeinu Tam would have a much longer day, because Shkia only starts much later. And that's why I'm told that before the war in Hungary and other places, many people would continue doing Malacha on Erev Shabbos after Shkia, because they held that's not the real Shkia, that's the Haskalah Shkia. The real Shkia is another 3/4 of an hour later, as you get to 3/4 of a mil. As you know, here in America, however, the minhag is not that way. And I'm told that historically, when the Satmarov came here to America, he spoke to Yankov Kamenetsky Zatzal and other Litvish Gedolim. They tried to coalesce and have a meeting of the minds as to an American shita, so that we shouldn't have some killers doing this way and some killers doing that way. So I believe at that time the Satmarov said that one should not do malacha after Shkia, in deference to the Shitas HaGaonim that holds that Shkia is taka at that time and not the Soif Shkia, even though later Bein Atam, the real Shkia is only much later, 3/4 mil later, so you would be able to continue doing malacha after Shkia. However, we should not follow that here in America, and that's why the minigiz at Shkia, Chas Hashom, don't do any malacha after that time, because we are choishish to the Shitas HaGaonim, even though even those that will continue to have mincha even close to an hour later, because they hold like Rabbeinu Tam that the real shkia is at the soif shkia and not at the tchilah shkia. I hope I haven't confused you, but at least you have an idea of what we're talking about.
So that would be, Rabbeinu Tam would be 3/4 of a mil later than our shkia. So
18 minutes.
So.
By the way, this is not just time. This is quoting from a Gemara in Sechel Shabbos and Daf Lamed Daled, where the same Rabbi Yehuda says that from Shkia until Seisan Kachavim is 3/4 of a mil. Now, how much is 3/4 of a mil? So now let's talk about a mil. Since we said that from Shkia until Seis, as well as from Halos Shachar until Net, is 72 minutes, and that's 4 mil. So how much is each mil? Each mil would be 18 minutes, right? We take 72, we divide it by 4. Daniel, you agree? Approximately 18 minutes, right? Every mil is approximately 18 minutes. So 3/4 of a mil would be 14 and a half minutes or something like that. So take out your calculators, and it comes out roughly 14 and a half minutes. So therefore, that's why, according to Rabbeinu Tam, you can daven mincha until 14 and a half minutes before Seisan Kachavim, and that's why, for instance, in
before Seis or after that, what we call Shkia.
No, you can daven mincha until roughly 57 minutes after Shkia, until the Soif Shkia, which starts roughly 14 and a half minutes before the end of the 72-minute period. So your 4 mil begin from what we call Shkia. Let's take an easy example. Shkia, let's say, is 6 o'clock on the calendar. Then 72 minutes would be 7:12. So we would all stop davening. Those that follow the Shitas HaGoinim would all stop davening mincha before 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, now it's night. According to Rabbeinu Tam, the real Shkia doesn't start then. That's only the Haschola Shkia, like the Hagdoma. The real Shkia only would start roughly at 6:55 or so. Then you add another 14 and a half minutes, 6:57. Add another 14 and a half minutes and gets you to 7:12. So you could daven mincha lichat chila until 6:57. And in fact, if you go to Satmar and other places that are very strict about Rabbeinu Tam, the big signs in the shul do not start the last minyan for mincha is at 58 minutes after shkia. Don't start a minute later after that, because now we're starting to get into night. Okay?
So Rabbeinu Tam takes, it's the 14 and a half minutes before
the end of the 72 minute period.
Okay.
So there'll be 14 and a half minutes before Tseis then, right?
Before Tseis, exactly. Now that is the famous Rabbeinu Tam. There are some that annoy Rabbeinu Tam 90 minutes. Where are there 90 minutes? Because they go according to the Shita of Rav and Ula that it's 5 mil instead of 4 mil. 5 times 18 gets you to 90 minutes instead of 72 minutes. So there are people, for instance, in Matzah Shabbos that go beyond Rabbeinu Tam and they will not do Malach until 90 minutes after Shkia. Obviously, we should try to be consistent. We should not go and daven mincha like Rabbeinu Tam until 58 minutes after Shkia, and then do malacha on Matzah Shabbos a half an hour or 40 minutes after Shkia, because that's nishtahin and nishtahet. So we should try to be consistent and all that. But those people that miss mincha before Shkia, unless they feel, you know, they're real doyres shitas agoinim, they yeshlam milis moich to be able to daven b'diavad until 57-58 minutes. By the way, Rabbeinu Tam is not some, you know, just a shita there in the corner. Both the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, who are two Yesoidis, the Mechaber for the Sfardim and the Ramah for the Ashkenazim, both paskan like Rabbeinu Tam. They both say that you can go and daven mincha lichat chila until 57-58 minutes after what we call Shkia. The reason why people today are very, very nervous, oh, Shkia, 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 what do we do? It's because the Mishnah Berurah, the Heilige Chofetz Chaim, said that even though the Mechaber says it, and the Rama says that, the Chofetz Chaim went back into prior generations, and he finds the Shitas HaGoinim, Goinim meaning not what we call today a Goin, but like Reb Hai Goin, Reb Shrira Goin, from that Zman and on, that there were numerous Goinim and Rishonim that did not feel like Rabbeinu Tam. They felt that the real Shkia is what we call Shkia and not the Rabbeinu Tam Shkia of the Seif Shkia. And that's why you got to daven until Shkia, not a minute later. And that's why the Mishnah Berurah was so machmir on that. And that's why the Bnei Yeshiva today are so machmir. But I'm told that even in the Litta, many people and even yeshivas would also daven after Shkia. It's only more recent generations because of the great influence of the great tzaddik, the Chofetz Chaim. As to who's right and who's wrong, all the poskim write throughout the Sforim, nobody bizman hazeh can decide who's right, the Shitas HaGoyinim or the Shitas Rebbein Tam, and therefore as a result, we should try to be machmer in both directions if possible. If you want to, you can always try to daven before Shkia, if you have a minion, etc. As well as, once you try to be machmer in the other direction for purposes of diaraisis, not to do melacha mat Shabbos until after Rebbein Tam. But, you know, everybody should feel zech the way their kehillah and their rabbanim have guided them.
We had the same machlokas when blood becomes possible lina in zvachim. The same, remember the first time you explained it was when does blood is at what point can you no longer be zorik the dam in the Beis Hamikdash?
Mm-hmm.
Because what's the dividing line between mm-hmm. The end of the day mm-hmm. when it's a good zrika and not?
Mm-hmm. There are certainly many ramifications, and not only mincha mariv and when does the tanis end and when the Shabbos end.
Malacha
for sure. It also is very negia to women. Women who have to do at the end of their before they do the tefillah. At the end, they have to do the hefsik. Well, at the end of their 7 days before they start counting their clean days, they have to do what's called the hefsik tara. That hefsik tara has to be done before shkia. What happens? A woman's very busy baking and cooking and taking care of the children and dinner and this and that, and it's just, oh no, it's shkia already. I didn't do my hefsik tara. What do I do? So, Ramosha Bixatzal, I'm told, he was make up to 8 or 9 minutes after shkia, and he would always tell the person, you can do this once, but don't make it a habit. Don't think, oh, such a Ramesh Vik was matir one time. Always be very, very makbet to do the hefsek tara before shkia. And even if you missed it, okay, he gets 6 minutes, 7 minutes, 8 minutes, but I don't even think he would allow up to 10 minutes. But again, there are postkimmets, say 10 minutes, 5 minutes, etc. But you have very, very little wiggle room after shkia when you're dealing with issues such as that. But when it comes to mincha, I'm told that in Breuers, until recently, the Breuers, the official zman, after, you know, Breuers is very, very pimplish, the official zman for mincha in the main kehillah was 15 minutes after shkia, because that was the minig in Deutschland, in Germany. So we shouldn't think, if we look upon Chassidim that daven mincha late, we shouldn't think, oh, they're a bunch of mekilim. They're following their Messiah, just like other kehillahs follow their Messiah about davening earlier or later. Anyway, so that's in general, Baisai, the halacha. If you want to look further in many of the poskim that dwell on this at much greater length. So getting back to our Gemara now, and we're up to Toshima, which is about 8-9 lines before the wide lines. Toshima. Mitzrayim hoye arba meyus parsa al arba meyus parsa. Mitzrayim, Egypt, the distance of Egypt was 400 parsois by 400 parsois. If you do easy arithmetic, if you add the two zeros to the 400, you get 4,000 and 40,000. You multiply it by 4, it's 160,000 square parsa. 160,000 square parsa. Umitzrayim echad mishishim bekush. The whole Mitzrayim is only 1/60th of Kush. Kush people say is Ethiopia. I don't think Ethiopia is 60 times Mitzrayim. So presumably it includes other countries in that area, like Algeria and Sudan and other countries there. The Kush Echad Mishishim Ba'olam. It's very important that we're talking about Kush, because in another 2-3 days we're going to be learning, reigning about Mihoidu V'ad Kush. The Kush Echad Mishishim Ba'olam. And Kush was 1/60th of the, the earth mass in the world. The Oilam Echad, and the whole Oilam is Mishishim Gan, is 1/60th of the Gan, referring to Gan Eden. However, we think of Gan Eden as being one entity. As he more explains, the Gan Echad Mishishim Be'Eden. In other words, Eden is very large, and Gan is 1/60th of Eden. So Gan Eden is 1/60th of Eden. The Eden Echad Mishishim Be'Gan. And unfortunately, Eden is 1/60th of Gehenim. Nimtza kol ha'olam kuloi kikisui kedeira legehenim. Based on what we're saying, that we're starting off with Mitzrayim being 160,000 parsa, and then you're multiplying it by 60 for Kush, and then you're multiplying another 60 for the world, and then you're multiplying by another 60 because of the Gan, and then another 60 by Eden. And you're saying that all of that is 1/60th of Gehenim, so therefore the entire world from beginning to end and everything else is like a kisig there, like a lid to a large pot called Gehenim. That's quite sobering reading such a Gemara. Anyway, what do I see from this?
That's a position that sounds like a lesson of Bittel, doesn't it? Like usually 160.
No, fine, good. Also, could be it's a shtickle guzman, could be not exactly 60, 150th, 140th, but he just means to say is much larger. And if that being the case, Sukti Yomara, didn't we say at the beginning of our Omud that the entire Sumcha Durki is Alpha Parsi, that the not the Sumcha, the Shita Alpha Parsi Hava Alma, that the sun travels from one end of the world to the other, Rashi said from Mizrach Lamarav, and that whole thing is 6,000 parsois, and here we're talking about millions and millions of parsois, so therefore the two don't seem to work in tandem. So the more Tiyufta is a bit so schwer, more than say Tiyufta de Rova Tiyufta, so perhaps the Gemara feels that there are ways of answering, because we're talking about different types of measurements. These are perhaps a little bit more esoteric measurements than the others. Toshima, Nitonet Ve'eliyo, Reb Nosson Oimer, Kol Yishev Kuloi Tachas Koichav Echad Yoishev. The entire Yishev, in other words, all civilization known to mankind, is all underneath one Koichav Yoishev. How do I know? Teida, the best Raya Shari Odom Nuisen Einem Bekoichav Echad Hoilech Mizrach. Oymed kinegdoi li arba ruchis ha'olam. Oymed kinegdoi, period. Person happens to, let's see, person lives in New York. If a person were able to focus on one particular koichav and be able to go and identify that, oh, that is the star that I'm looking for. And then he continues on from here and he goes to California or he goes to Florida, looks for that koichav, hey, that koichav is directly above where I am. Same thing, gets to Europe, he goes there to Israel. The koichav is still there, exactly there in the middle of the horizon, which I'm focusing on, which I'm looking on. If you can identify such a koichav, not easy to identify one star out of many, but if you could, noisen eina v'koichav echad, first wide line, he focuses his attention on one particular koichav and puts a label on it, oh, that's my favorite star. Hoylech l'mizrach, he travels to Mizrach side, oymit kenegdai. Oh, hey, that koichav is still there. Abruchas Oilam, he travels everywhere. I mean, connect, the stars are unbelievable. And then says Rashi, but that's one koichav. And we all know that there are numerous koichav, thousands, tens of thousands, perhaps millions of koichav. And if every single koichav is connected the entire yishuv, then the whole world is far more than the 6,000 parsois that we're talking about. And perhaps, of course, those are talking about part of the earth, and maybe now we're talking about the entire universe and all the solar systems and all the rest. Anyway, the Gemara doesn't go into that level of detail. The Gemara just says Tiyufta. This would apparently not be consistent with the concept that the sun travels 6,000 parsois every day. Doesn't it travel so much more? It travels through the entire solar system, through all the Kechav. Toshima. Now we're going into Mazolos, constellations, and we're going to talk about Egla B'Tzofin V'Akra B'Doroim. I'm not so familiar with Mazalis, but the article translates Egla as Taurus and Akrav as Scorpio, and the Taurus is always Betzofen, always on the northern side. Akrav, the Scorpio, is always on the southern side. V'chol yishev kulei ein yoishev ein bein Egla li Akrav. Wherever you happen to live, whether you're here in New York or you happen to be in Yerushalayim or anywhere in between, if you look up to the sky, and assuming that you know how to recognize things like this, Rav Belsky Zuchan Levrocha was a genius, and he would be able to go and show you the Big Dipper and the Lower Dipper and this one and that one. I don't see anything. He'd look carefully, and he'd be able to show you exactly in the Shemaim all the various constellations. He was absolutely brilliant. But anyway, beginning back to our Gemara, so the entire world lives between that Egla and Akrav, because wherever you go, look up, and you'll see the Egla is to the Tzofin is to the northern side, the Akrav is to the southern side, if you're able to recognize the constellations. Good. And if you think about it, the yishuv is only like 1 hour during the day. What does that mean? The only time that you really see the sun clearly is 1 hour during the day. Teda, at the end of 5 hours, meaning at the end of 11 o'clock, or the beginning of 11 o'clock, Cham is b'mizrach, the sun is still rising on the eastern side of the horizon. U'b'sheva, which is already 1 o'clock, Cham b'marav, the sun is already on the other side, the western side. Chatzi sheish, chatzi sheva, if you're starting from 11:30 until 12:30, then Cham emet is b'roish kolam, that's when the Cham is directly above the individual. But Otherwise, the sun is still elsewhere in the morning, it's still on the east, and in the afternoon it's on the west. It's only directly over the Yishuv, only midday. And the Egla always remains in Tzafet, the Akrav always remains in Darim, and the Yishuv Kuloi is between the Egla and the Akrav, and the entire Yishuv is only like one hour, because that's directly when the sun is directly over us, and there's so many more suns throughout the whole horizon and the whole sky, and so therefore obviously the world is much, much, much larger than just that short circuit of the sun of the six Alfi Parasi. It says it's much, much bigger than we had imagined, or that Rava had described. Toshima, the Omer Yechim and Zakai, Machuba Heshivosi Baskar Uisa Rasha Bishosha Omar. We're talking about the famous Rasha Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was very arrogant and very pompous, and he said, "Ele Elbomase of, I'm going to go up all the way to the heavens, the heights of the heavens, Adamale Elyon, and I'm going to make myself into a god." In other words, he wanted to go and compare himself, this puny individual, to Kaviyachal the Rabbi Yisraelim. I'm going to go up with a tall elevator or with a rocket ship, and I'm going to go all the way up at Damal Elyon, and I'm going to sit there in a Kisi Akot. His Baskel, Siyotze Baskel, the Amrloi, so Baskel comes out and says to him, "Il Rasha ben Benoy Shel Nimroid HaRasha." Why is Nimrod called Nimrod? Shehimrod is kolo ilam kulei olai b'malchusai. When Nimrod was the king, I believe he's also referred to as Amraphel. Rashi ibn Chumash says he has multiple names. Anyway, he was called Nimrod because Himrod, he made a merid. Merid means a rebellion, a revolt. Where do we find this? Rashi said in the times of Dor HaFloga, he was the one that instigated the building of the Migdol to go all the way up to Shemayim, so let's go and take over the world, etc. Until Kadosh Baruch Hu had to go make Dor HaFloga, and they changed all the Lashonis, and nobody knows what the other guy was saying. Give me the mortar, and he gave him the brick, and he got angry at him, etc. Rashi brings him Chumash. Anyway, so when it says Ben Benoit Shal Nimrod, Rashi means a grandson, says Rashi, Lav Dafka grandson, he just means that he comes from Mizera Nimrod, he's from that family, from the same DNA of a guy like Nimrod. So, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu about Nuchanetzah, Kamen Kshnoisa Shal Odom Shivim Shana. The average person lives for 70 years. Ben Bigvura Yisipach Shem, he's strong, Shmoinim Shana, 80 years, Shenema, he may just say Behem Shivim Shana, Ben Bigvura Shmoinim Shana. Min Oretz Adler Kiyah, Mahal Chamesh Meyoy Shana. You puny individual, that if you're successful, you can live till 80. And if a person lives till 120, he's 120. But you know what the distance is? 500 years to get to the first Rekiah, the first level of the sky. The Oivash of Rekiah, Mahal Chamish Meyashana. And the thickness of that Rekiah is another 500 years. Ubein, Ko Rekiah, Rekiah, Mahal Chamish Meyashana. So the Gemara doesn't explain exactly what that means, but Rashi tells us, if you look up Masechtas Chagiga, there the Gemara says that there are in fact seven levels of heaven, and what our Gemara is telling us is that each level of the heaven is in itself 500 years, and between heaven and heaven there's another 500 years. It's really heavenly upstairs in Shemayim, and since there's seven levels, each one being 500, in between being 500, so it's the equivalent of 7 times 1,000. We're talking about 7,000 years just to get from Oretz to Shemayim, and you little Nebuchadnezzar think that you're going to be Adam al Elyon, I'm going to get there with a spaceship. So we're talking about 7,000 years away. Rather, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu to Nebuchadnezzar, Ach el Sheol Tura, you're going to go all the way down to Sheol, which is a reference to Gehenim, El Yarka Sebar, all the way down. Anyway, we see that the world and the horizon is much, much thicker and bigger and wider and taller than we might have thought. So Gemara Tiyofta, Taka, it's more than the Gemara was alluding to or suggesting on the Amud Aleph.
You know, when Yuri Gagarin was the first man in space, yeah, he said, "There's no God up here." And the Soviet Union sent him up. Uh-huh. A few years later, he was on another flight and crashed. He died in a crash. The next, but the first thing he said, because he was from the Soviets, he's a cosmonaut.
Yeah.
So there's no God up here.
Of course not. I didn't see him yet, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So he and Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah.
And Nimrod.
Eventually, he saw him, but after he crashed.
Anyway, exactly. And he found him b'she'oil el yarka sebar. Okay, Tan Rabban. Chachmi Yisrael oimrim galgal kavua umazolis choizrin, v'chachmi umas oimrim galgal choizrin malus mazolis kavua. This is, again, at least for me, it's very esoteric. I don't really understand too much about astrology. I don't understand a lot about a lot of things. But if you want to look in the art school, they have some very, very interesting pictures, and you have concentric circles, and you have the wheel of the zodiac, and you have the constellations and all the different names in Hebrew and in English. So feel free to learn that and go through that on your own. But just Parshat Pshat, the Gemara Chachmi Yisrael Oimrim, the Gal Gavua is the wheel of the zodiac, Umazolis Choizrin, and on that wheel you have the Mazolis, the constellations. The constellations which are the ones that move, but the wheel of the zodiac stays in place frozen. No, it's the wheel that moves. Mazolis kavua, and the mazolis happen to be kavua on that wheel. Think of the wheel of a car. If you were to go and put a small little white sticker at the top of the wheel, as you see the car moving, you'll see that that white sticker goes around and around. But the white sticker really doesn't move. It's on the same place. It's just because the wheel is moving, that's why you see the sticker keeping going up and down and back and forth and running up. But it's not that. So that's the Mazal Kavua. All of the 12 constellations are affixed to the wheel of the zodiac, and it's the wheel of the zodiac that constantly is spinning and moving. That's why the Mazolis are moving with it, but they are Kavua on the wheel at all times. That's a Kuntachachmi Yisrael. Kuntachachmi Yisrael, the Galgal remains in place. It's just the Mazolis that are moving. And Rashi says when we say that the Mazolis are moving, they also only move a little bit from their position to the next mazel, and then they retreat and they go back to their original location. If we take a quick look at the Rashi, see Galgal, Rashi is about 12 lines from the top of the Yomid. Galgal kimin oifan, oifan is a wheel, parakia upstairs in Shemaim, Shemazol is the Sunumbai, where the constellations are set into it. Galgal kavua veinim a galgal, ella ke'en oifan agola, hamunach bekarka. It's like the wheel of an agola of a wagon, which is lying on the ground. The mazolis are on the move, but they move only small amounts. They don't go all the way around. Each one of the mazolis helps out, services the chama in some way, the sun. It moves out of its location, and it kind of helps along the sun from its location to the next constellation, and then it immediately retreats and goes back to where it was originally. Like we said on the Amud Aleph, the Egla, the Taurus, is always in the north, and the Scorpio is always in the south. You'll never see them reversed. They only go a little bit, twice 5 inches. They serve the sun, they help the sun move to the next one, and then they move back. Okay, so getting back to our Gemara, so that's the machloek between the Chachmei Yisrael, Chachmei Yisrael, exactly how the constellations and the mazolis work. Omer Rabbi Tshuva LeDivreim, I'll prove to you that they are wrong. Meaning the Chachmi Umas Oilam are saying that the Galgal Choizer, that the wheel of the zodiac is moving, and therefore the Mazolis are moving with it. Not that the Mazolis on their own are moving, but just because they're on the wheel, they're attached to the wheel. So Chuvim Debraim, like Rashi just finished saying, Mi Oilam Metzina, Eglam Bedoraim, the Akra Betzofoin. Aye, didn't the Chachmi Yisrael say that the Mazolis are Choizrim, that they move? They only move a little bit. So the Egla moves a little bit in the Tzofoin, right, from the northeast to the north to northwest, northwest to northeast, but it always stays there in the north, and the same thing, Akrab always stays in the south. Mashenkin Chachmi Yisrael, it should be, you should see them moving from one to the other. Masle Rav Acha Bar Yankif, Medilma Kibbutzina Derechaye Inami Kitzinura Didasha. This is not 100% Raya, because maybe it's like the Butzina de Rechaya. The art scroll translates Butzina as the blade of the Rechaim of the mill. You have a windmill which is constantly milling, going around and around, and right in circles. Everybody has seen windmills, and the children play with these plastic mills that they blow it, and they keep on going around and around. But each mill has in it numerous blades.
Pinwheels.
I'm sorry? Pinwheels? Pinwheels instead of pinwheels.
The children use pinwheels.
Pinwheels instead of windmills. Thank you, Shikoya. But you agree that the process, not the process.
Blades.
No, not the blaze. I'm saying, but the
mechanism?
Rotation.
The rotation, the mechanism, there are revolutions in the blaze. It's based on the same type of format. Okay, yes. Good. Shkoyach, but thank you for the correction and the clarification. The tsinur d'dash is referring to the bolt which is holding the door attached to. It's not similar to our hinges which are on the side. This is a bolt which you have either in the lintel at top, on the threshold down below, and that's why you have doors that revolve back and forth. They have such a bolts in the ground, so you have the same type of situation where you can have the door revolving. If you don't have anything stopping the door, theoretically it can just revolve on those bolts and keep on going around and around, similar to the doors that we have in front of the many buildings, and you come in, it's not just so. What are those called? Revolving doors or yes. Whatever. Good, so you get the idea. So this revolving door also, the door moves, but the bolts stay in the ground in one place. So this is somewhat similar to whether the oif and the galgal is in one place and the mazalas are moving. Let's see, Rashi. Zot Rashi. Let's skip down to Dilma kibbutzina derechaya, kibarzel hatochav benekiv. Rochav Shibirichayim, it's like a barzel, a piece of iron, Hatochav, which is stuck in the neck of in the hole, Rochav Shibirichayim, a big wide hole in the Rechayim in this mill, Shehashoichav Oimid Bimkoimai, the one that's lying stays in its place, Vabarzel Choizen, it's the barzel that is making the revolutions or the rotations, Fimbosel Galgal Hashoichav Misgalgal Sovav Habarzel, and if you want that the one that's resting should be Misgalgal, then you Armagalgal it, you revolve it, you rotate it around the barzel, but barzel in Makoimai, so the barzel itself stays in one place. But the rest of the mill, it drezach back and forth. Same thing is Inamiki Tsnuri Dasha, Shadela Suivevis Bechoir Hamifton Hu Elyoin, Vamifton Bimkoimai Oimed. The Delis also is Sovev, rotates and revolves. Bechoir Hamifton, where you have that Tsnuri Dasha, Tsnuri Dasha is the bolt, which is in the hole of the Miftan or Elyon, and the Miftan or Elyon means on the top lintel, that's the Mashkoif that we had by the Ness of Yitzias Mitzrayim, that they put the blood on the Mashkoif, the Miftan or Elyon, but Miftan or Mekoyim Oymed, and that lintel doesn't move, it stays in one place. Vimbos le galgal ha Mashkoif, whom is galgal sub of Hatzir, vatelis oym bimkoymoy. So what Rashi says is, theoretically, what you could do is leave the Delis standing in one place and have the Mashkoif revolving around the Delis. So in other words, when you're talking about the concept of motion, it's really relative. Something stays in place and the other thing is moving, you could reverse it and have the thing which is moving stay in place and the rest do the revolutions. The galgal, again, the wheel of the zodiac, it revolves on its own. And all those mazolas are kavua, they're set into the galgal. It stays in its place. So another galgal from the outside. That's the one that's helping out the chama in the face of all of these constellations. So Rashi seems to suggest that there are two corresponding or parallel galgals. One stays in place and the other one's on the move. And I guess what the Gemara is trying to say is that this is not a convincing raya against the Chachmi Umas Olam, because in fact there might be multiple wheels of zodiac of this type, one which remains stationary and one which is in motion, etc. Again, the Art Scroll has lengthy discussions about all of this. It's somewhat esoteric, and if you're familiar with astrology, it'll be very helpful to get a better feel. Beginning back to our Gemara, Chachmi Yisrael Oymen B'yoyim Chamim Halechas L'matam Nerekia. The Chachmi Yisrael says that the sun's circuit moving throughout the day is at the lower part of the horizon of the sky. We don't see the sun at night because now it's going on top of the sky, so you don't see it. It's kind of hidden. In that respect, they agree. However, it's not that it goes on top of the sky, it goes underneath the earth. Since underneath the earth you don't see it anymore. So Rebbe says, in terms of this scientific analysis, I tend to agree with the Chachmi Umas HaOlam rather than the Chachmi Yisrael. Why? Because typically throughout the day, the Mayonois, these subterranean streams, are on the cold side, especially during the winter. Ubalai, however, if you go at night, you'll find that they're warmer. And why are they warmer? Because the sun is traveling the Matam and Karka, it's beneath the surface, it's beneath the earth. So therefore, the earth still gets the benefit of that warmth. Not where I am, but underneath, down below. And therefore, those Mayanas down below are warmer. During the summer months, then the sun is traveling at the height of the rakia, the height of the sky. The whole world is hot. And the mayonis which are subterranean, which are down below, those are cold. During the winter days, it's traveling at the very edges, very ends of the rakia. That's why we don't get the full blessing, the full heat of the sun. I guess they get closer to the earth, and so therefore the mayonis down below are hotter. Turn around, the chama walk travels like on four different paths. Nisan ir v'sivan, starting from Nisan time, starting from Pesach time for the next 3 months, malechas baharim. It's up in the mountains, kedila fashir es eshlogin, to cause the snow to melt. The snow that's accumulated throughout the winter now melts in Nisan time, ir sivan, because of the sun. Tam is of the elul, now we're getting deep into the summer, malechas b'yishuv, kedila fashir es peiros, so that all the peiros will be fully ripened. It's not only that they ripen, also, as you know, in the good old days they used to go and dry the peiros out in the fields. That's why you can buy products that say sun-ripened raisins or whatever. So the sun would go and ripen them, and not only ripen, but will to dry them out during the summer months. Tisha marchesh mekisle maleches biyamin kidei liyabesh esanahoreis, to go and make sure that the yamim don't overflow, so to go and dry them out. It goes away to the midbar place so that these roim will not dry out, but they will have their moisture and their freshness. They'll be able to go and harvest them, and they'll be gishmak. Okay, so this was all about astronomy and astrology, and now we get back to our Mishnah. Remember we said in our Mishnah we had a machloikis, what is considered to be derech rechoika for purposes of Pesach Rishon, because it said in the Pasuk, ish ki tom lenefesh, oy v'derech rechoika lecham, so you cannot go do the Pesach Rishon, you're going to do the Pesach Sheni. What's the definition of derech rechoika? So the Mishnah, the Tanakama, Rav Kiva said 15 mil like moidiyim, beyond 15 mil. And Rav Lezer says, no, even if in Yerushalayim itself, if you're standing outside the Har HaBayis and you're not going in, that's already called Derech HaChayka. Pray Timora, the Afagav, the Out Motzi Ayil, if the person is standing outside the Har HaBayis, and Baruch Hashem, he has two legs and two hands and two feet, and he is a normal guy, why don't we tell him, Yankel, don't stand there. Go and bring the Karm Pesach. Don't wait till Pesach Sheni. Bring it now. Why do we give it? I can understand if he's beyond my din, this terrible traffic like we had in the Gemara yesterday. But if the person happens to be in Yerushalayim itself, just a stone's throw from the Har HaBayis, then come on in. And I'll bring you a raya that should be L'choy the Halacha. What time do you have the Braisa? Yehudi Orel, Shaloi Mol. What happens if you have a Yid that is an Orel, and defies and says, we're not talking about Mesu Echos Machmas Mila, that he's never an Onus, but a person's Orel Shleimol, and he's able to, so we tell him, no, go mal, otherwise Chashashom Anush Karish, Tivir Reb Lezer. So what do I see from this? That in fact, we instruct the person, we tell him, do it, so come on in, why are you standing outside? Tivir Reb Lezer, this is Reb Lezer, the same Reb Lezer of our Mishnah. In other words, these are two separate halachas. You're right, legabe the orel, and the same thing legabe the tameh. We tell them, fix yourself up. If you're an orel, have a bris. If you're a tameh, become tahar. In other words, go to the mikveh, have harif shemesh. But when it comes to the din of derech hachoika, that doesn't apply. Derech hachoika is a din which is said to the tahar person, and there is no requirement that he has to rush into the Har HaBayis if he's not there, and he stands outside, he is allowed to go and bring Pesach Sheni. Tosis says that this is kind of ironic. You can have a person who is outside the Eskupas Hazara, and he also happens to be Tomei, or he also happens to be an Orel, and we tell him, Mister, fix up your Orla and have a bris. You, Tomei, go to the mikvah and have Erev Shemesh. But after that, if he weren't going to do that, he'd be onish karis. However, after that, what he has done, he has his bris, and he went to the mikveh, and now he's still iskupas azara. Okay, you can stay there. You don't have to come in anymore. Now you can stay there. The major operation of going and having a bris, he did. Going to the mikveh, he did. But now walking a few more steps, no, now you can stand outside. So you look at the second tosis from the top. In other words, he has three whammies. Number one, he's chutz lazara. He's an orel, or he's tamid, and he's tamid. Chai b'pesach. What happens? If he has his bris. V'yitar, and if he goes to the mikveh. Oh, you're still outside the eskupas lazara. Now you're part to it. It's a little ironic, a little bit hard to understand. We have found something similar called. In other words, to do the big stuff of Oral Atama, you don't say automatically that it's not Ma'akiv, because it's not roi to do the bris unless you hire your moil and you go through the whole process of a bris. You don't get into the mikvah unless you pay for it, and you go to the mikvah and you toivel. You got to do something. Masha'enken, if you're standing outside the Azara, you can do a few easy steps. No, then it's already not ma'akev. It's roi lebi. It's roi lebiya, if you will, to come into the bismikdash. So that's not ma'akev. Okay, it's still hard to understand even with the teretz. Oh, but for those of you that are stunned by the Gemara's approach, that's, you see, Tosis already addresses this. This is what Abai says. Rav Amar, getting to Rav, a fourth white line. Tanoi, it's machlekes tanoi. Here by Pesach we have the din of Yirchak HaMokoyim, and there it also says the Gabi Meiser Ki Yirchak Mimcho HaMokoyim. Here it doesn't say by uns, it says Ish Ish Ki Tom Nefesh Oy V'Derech Rechoyka. That's the Rechak Mokoyim, and there it says by Maser that if a person happens to find himself Ki Yirchak Mimcho HaMokoyim, so what he can do is he can go and be Poyda, and then Mitzar to Kesa Biyadcha V'Yalach Te'el HaMokoyim, he can bring the money up. He doesn't have to go and schlep up all the Maser Sheini Peters with him. He can take money instead. So it says Rechak Mokoyim here, it says Rechak Mokoyim over there. Ma Lahalon Chutz La'achi Losoi. There when we're talking about Ki Yirchak Mimcho HaMokoyim, we're talking about eating the Maser Sheini. You can't eat it here in Tel Aviv, you got to go into Yerushalayim. Afkan Chutz, when we're talking about eating from the Korban Pesach, we're talking about chutz l'mokom achila, and chutz l'mokom achila means outside Yerushalayim, and therefore that's why Rabbi Akiva, the Tanakama of the Mishnah yesterday, said what's richuk mokom outside the mokom achila of the Korban Pesach. Mokom achila Korban Pesach is Yerushalayim, just like the mokom achila of the Maaser Sheni. So if you're outside Yerushalayim, modiim v'lachutz. That's the Yirchak Mimcho HaMokoyim. We don't talk about the Mokoyim Achila, the Mokoyim Asiya. What's the Mokoyim Asiya of the Korban Pesach? In the Azara. So if you happen to be outside the Azara, that's the Yirchak Mokoyim, the Rechak Mokoyim that we're talking about over here.
Isn't Rabbi Elazar in the Risha? Rabbi Elazar, it's the same as Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus. So Tanoigi, I'm expecting a machlokas Tanoim.
Continue on. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Oyim, and Mishum.
Rabbi Eliezer.
So this machlokas with Rabbi Elazar held.
Okay.
Zok di Gemara. Kiman az lahodam Rabbi Yitzchak bar Rav Yosef b'tmeim heilach achar roi v'oim b'azara. When it comes to computing tmeim and tahirim. Remember, we had about 10 blood ago. Right. What happens if you have exactly 50-50, or if you have 51%, 49%? When do you bring it to Tumah? When do you bring it to Tahara? The carbon, the Tumah Hutra B'tzibur, the Chuyihi B'tzibur. How do you determine, how do you count up? Do you count up all the people in the whole world from Alaska to Australia and everybody in between? So the Gemara says, no. You only go out based on those people who are standing in the Azara. Those people, if 50% happen to be Tmeim, 50% Tahoyrim, then we had the three-way Machloikas Rav and the two Lashonis Rav Kahana. If 51% are Tahoyrim, we're going to bring in Bitaro, tell the rest, you are all Miut, you're the minority, you have to wait until Pesach Sheini, and vice versa, if you have more Tmeim, then you have to go and bring up the Tumah Hutra B'tzibur, Tchuyi B'tzibur.
But those standing in Azara don't just represent themselves, they represent all the Bnei Chabura who are going to join with them in their Pesach.
Maybe Taka, okay. That's just referring to those two. Okay. But obviously he's not talking about people in Australia.
Right.
Okay, so those are which are the representatives. So Tumara, so why are we talking about Azara? Why aren't we talking about people in Yerushalayim? That's the second sheet that it says, the Chutz L'Asiyosai. say that the makom that determines tameim and tahirim and richuk makom, all is based on the makom asiyah, and the makom asiyah is the azara. So people in the azara, they're the ones that count for these purposes. Anybody outside the azara, he's already a richuk makom person. He no longer is part of the equation. We'll stop over here. Rabbi Yossi, the end of the Mishnah says he holds like Reb Lazer that it's min eskupa v'lachot. Eskupa azor v'lachot. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi, Gli Oimer, Derech, it says in the Pasuk, Derech. What's the Lashon of Pasuk? It's Omer Nefesh, Oy v'derech r'choyka l'chap. Shemei ani mahalach shanayim v'shlosh yom. Derech could be, you know, I still got to travel 2 or 3 days to get there. Kishu Oimer, v'derech l'hoya, and this is on the reverse case, in other words, where the Pasuk is telling you, if you didn't do it, v'chadal, Loshin va'isha shirhu tohar uvederech loy haya v'chadal asas a pesach v'nichus ha'nevesh hi mi amel. So they are also using the same derech, derech loy haya magid. What is the this new pasuk coming to tell you? It says magid should be skupa azor v'chutz karui derech. In other words, I assume by the fact that it repeats the word derech twice, and here it doesn't say the loshin of rechoika. The other pasuk ishi tomer nefesh uvederech rechoiken. Here it says uvederech lehaya. He wasn't on the derech, so that's already not rechoik. That's even karayv. So therefore, Magin comes to tell you, you don't have to wait until 2 or 3 days. That's not the definition of the derech rechoik. But even the scripture as out of the chutz, it's also derech. If he's on the derech, but he's not there, it's time for davening. Mincha is at 5:20. Oh, somebody's on 89th Street and we're 91st Street. Now, that mazel tov, but he's not here. He's still bederech. He's not derech rochayk, but he's bederech. So that's the second pasuk, bederech lehaya. Therefore, that's the definition, miskupas hazara, like Reb Yossi and like Reb Lezer of our Mishnah. Mitzvah will continue tomorrow from a brand new blat and a brand new Mishnah. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Zai Gazin. Shlomo, thanks for helping me out.